Well, good morning.
Thank you, Rick, so much for reading that quite lengthy scripture reading. I always hesitate a little bit when I put up that many verses for a scripture reading, but thank you so much for doing that. And that's very important because it's going to set the context to our lesson today. I hope you were able to grab a bulletin. Maybe you got it in an email already, but you will notice that we are going to be going through Psalm 51. I want to encourage you to open up your own Bibles, look in that psalm with me as we break it down and apply it to our lives. This is going to be the last lesson that we have in our series talking about spring cleaning, how we can get out with the old and in with the new, and this idea of cleaning our hearts and making sure we have these new hearts. You'll see what David was going through. Nathan, the prophet, came to him and preached to him a parable. Isn't that cool to see parables in the Old Testament? So Nathan comes and he preaches this parable to him. And it was so impactful, and David was so angry about this rich man who took this one ewe lamb from this poor man. And the famous quote that we always see where Nathan, after David is saying, "I don't really like that rich man," he says, "Well, you are that man. That's you. You're the guy that took this little ewe lamb from Uriah. You took it from him, and you killed him." And so now we are going to be in Psalm 51, and you notice towards the end of 2 Samuel there, this idea where David is so hurt. He's so mad at himself, and maybe at that moment as he was in that grief, as he was in that despair, he decided to pen this psalm that we're going to discuss today. Psalm 51 is powerful. It is a very important psalm that we have. And most of the time when I have preached this, it was mainly to discuss how often it can be misused, particularly verse 5. But to my own fault, I guess I haven't done a good job of actually preaching this entire psalm, which is fascinating and actually very encouraging and convicting all at the same time. So we're going to be talking about being newly created, having these newly created hearts in us. I want to encourage you tonight to come back for our singing night at 5 p.m. We're going to have a wonderful time of singing, and I've also am going to be doing the devotional portion where we're going to be learning a newer song, and it's called Create in Me, and some of that song uses this particular psalm. And we're going to be learning that together and going over it. And it's a wonderful psalm to understand and also a wonderful song to sing. So read with me in this particular psalm, and then we'll go back through and we'll break it down and we'll look at all the different stanzas, the different parts of this psalm, and how we can connect them to our lives. Notice, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Now, what most scholars would attribute this to is David, and notice they even put in the headings. It is the psalm after the prophet Nathan came to him and told him about his sin with Bathsheba. Okay? Verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom and the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach the transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in your right sacrifices. In burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, then bulls will be offered on your altar. A wonderful psalm. The first part I want you to understand is the very beginning in verses 1 and 2. In 1 and 2, we really see David beginning this entire psalm with his main plea. This is why he is going to God in this particular psalm. And notice verse 1, he says, "Have mercy on me, be gracious to me, O God, according to your steadfast love and according to your abundant mercy." So David is making a plea to two of God's most wonderful characteristics that we know about him. According to your steadfast love, be gracious to me, O God. According to your abundant mercy, be gracious to me, O God. And I want you to take a moment and step back. Haven't we all said that same thing? Haven't we all said that same prayer? God, be gracious to me, have mercy on me, according to your steadfast love. And what's cool about that idea of God's steadfast love is David is asking God to be merciful and gracious to him with steadfast love, everlasting love, long-suffering love. You know, that's the same love that God showed us. See, David's asking for that love. And David was afforded that love, but guess what? We were too. And I'm thankful every time I get to read that, to see that God hasn't changed. He's still a God that has this steadfast love for us, even though there's moments in our life where we are down, even though there's moments in our life where we are embarrassed because of what we've done, God still has that steadfast love for us. But also you notice in verse 2, here's the main thing that David is asking for. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He pretty much said the same thing three times. God, please get rid of this sin. I am so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. Please, can we take this sin away? Now, notice what happens in verses 3 through 6. It seems that David spends some time really lamenting about himself and about what he has done and about the shame that he has in his life. Notice, "For I know my transgressions." I know my sins. And my sin is ever before me, right? And maybe it was helpful for that sin to be before him because a man of God came to him and said, "Hey, David, you have an issue. You have sinned against God. You are this rich man. You are this person who has done this horrible thing." And you know, sometimes in our life, it takes someone to do that for us. To be that person who's going to come to us and say, "Hey, look, Matt, I see that you have done this in your life and you need to fix it. You need to get right with God." And so now he's lamenting about this shame, this embarrassment, and he says, "Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight." He is so mad about how he has hurt his relationship with God. And he says, "So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment," And then verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You see, what David is trying to say here is not talking about how we have original sin when we're born, but what he's trying to say is, "I am such a horrible person that I must have been a sinner all the way from when I was a child." And we know that's not true. But what we do know is that he is so filled with shame right now, and he is in such an attitude of lamenting to God that he's saying, "You know what? I must have been born this way. I must have been even conceived in this idea of sin because I'm just such a horrible person." And we get like that, When we're just down and maybe you could even say we're a little depressed, right? We just lament everything. We tell God, I'm just such a horrible person. I'm this or I'm that. And that's what David is doing here. He's going through this idea of lamenting and truly trying to bring out this idea of how shameful he is. And then verse 6, he says, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Now, after he's gone through this idea of really trying to lament over how shame-filled he feels, he then moves into talking about the work that's about to be done on his heart, right? Notice verses 7 through 12. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Verse 8, I thought was probably one of the most powerful verses I read in this psalm. Notice what he says. He says, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. God, I want to be able to rejoice in the burdens that I have in my life right now. How many of us have ever prayed that? God, I want you to take the broken bones that you have given me. It wasn't that God literally broke his bones, but because of the sin that David had committed, there was consequences that had to be had. And what David is saying, I understand my consequences. I understand the hurt that is happening. And God, I want to be able to rejoice in this time. I want to be able to see these burdens that I have, these struggles that I'm going through, and I want to see them as a blessing. I want to see them how I can get stronger from this. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we need to step back and say that same thing. I know trials are not fun. I know trials are very hard. I know when we go through those times where we are not just super excited about going through that time, maybe it'll help us if we really try to understand, I can become stronger from this. God, I want to see these broken bones that I have, and I want to be able to rejoice because I know I will be stronger. Notice then he goes on in verse 9, he says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Again, he's repeating this main plea that he has. Then verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The idea of that word fix, or the idea of that word renew a right spirit is the idea of a fixed spirit. God, I want to be fixed. God, I want my heart to be cleaned. I want to have a better attitude. I want to have a fixed spirit within me. And I need your help, God. Cast me not away from your presence. Please don't forsake me, and take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, I wonder while David was penning this, and I wonder if you've wondered this too, if he thought about Saul here. Because if you remember what happened with Saul, when he committed iniquity against God, what did God do? Took his spirit from him. And then he went to go and anoint David. And I wonder if David is penning this and go, I hope I'm not about to end up like Saul. I hope God is not going to remove his spirit from me, and then I'm going to have this dysfunctional spirit, and then I'm not going to be God's chosen, anointed son anymore. I wonder how we feel when we sin. Do we have that same attitude where we think to ourselves, God, please don't leave me. God, please don't forsake me. I'm so sorry. I don't want you to take your presence from me. Then he goes on to say, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. See, he's trying to work on his heart right now, and he's asking God to help him. And then he goes on to say, and notice verses 13 through 19, we have this idea of, thank you, God, for helping me. Now I need to get to work. So then he goes on to say, then, after all this heart work has happened, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. I'm going to work on my heart, God, and then I'm going to go out and I'm going to help those who are caught in their sin. I'm going to help all of those who are messed up, who are doing things against your ways, and I'm going to go teach them. What an awesome attitude to have. to go around and to help others and with their relationship with God and with their hearts and say, God, I know you've helped me, now I'm gonna go help others. I wanna go teach transgressors your ways. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. So what happens here is God is now David is saying, I know God is working on my heart. And because of that, I'm gonna sing praises so loud to him. People are gonna be able to hear that. They're gonna know that God has taken care of me. They're gonna know that I love my God because of how loud of praises I'm singing to him. Isn't that awesome? That's why I love Sunday mornings. That's why I love the song leaders we have here at Hilldale, is they're so intentional about the songs we sing. Most of the time I get text messages about, hey, what are you preaching this Sunday? I wanna make sure I can line up songs because they're very intentional about our worship. I wonder how many of us have gone through a week where we had broken hearts, where we have been filled with shame, where we have fallen short, and we come in on a Sunday morning to start our next week and we're these people and we realize what God has done for us. We realize how God has impacted our hearts. And we fill this room with joy-filled singing. I love that. And I love that he has this attitude where I know my sin and I know it's ever before me and I'm asking God to help me. And you know what I'm gonna do in return? I'm not only gonna go around and preach to people, I'm also gonna sing praises to you. What an awesome attitude. But also notice, it's not just about the singing, it's about the heart that comes with it. Notice he talks about how God loves a broken spirit. Now the idea there is not that you are shamefully in submission. It's the idea of being humble, having a humble heart. Right, in James chapter 4, we see that God gives grace to who? The humble, right? And he opposes the proud. And so we see what David is doing here. He's talking about how he's trying to humble himself before God, because that's the sacrifice God wants. He doesn't care about the blood of the bulls and goats unless it comes with a humble heart. You see, and God doesn't care about our songs of praise if it's not with humility and a humble heart. We have an awesome God, an amazing God, and we're so thankful that we get to sing praises to him. And then he goes on to end and he says, do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Now he's asking for a prayer to take care of everybody else. God, I know I have failed you, but don't let my failure affect your people. What a wonderful heart. Looking to others and trying to figure out what he wants. And see, it took this process of asking God to help him create this clean heart. And sometimes we need to step back and ask God the same thing. God, I need you to help create in me a clean heart. This world is trying to dirty it up, but I know you can help keep it clean. So I want to ask you this morning, how clean is your heart? Maybe you're in a season of life right now where you are like David. You are filled with shame. Maybe you have gone through a sin in your life. You are it's stuck in a sin in your life, and you don't know how to get out of it. And you're filled with shame. You're embarrassed, and you don't know what to do. Well, this morning there's an opportunity that we're going to have at the end of this lesson to respond to the invitation to ask for help, to ask for prayers. We'd love to pray with you. I really want you to look at that. How clean is your heart? David knew his heart was not clean. And maybe it was just because Nathan came to him, and maybe we have those people in our lives that are helping us. But I also want you to, here's your activity that you can do throughout this week, is if you notice in your bulletins, I have this acrostic, and it spells clean. This is cool, right? I came up with this. Took me all week, but I did. Number one, I want you to go through this idea and use Psalm 51 as a guide. First, I need you to confess humbly. It's one thing to confess, it's another thing to confess with a humble heart. Go to God in your prayers and confess humbly what you are struggling with. Be honest with him. Let him know, God, this sin is what I am struggling with, and I need your help. Next, I want you to lament about that sin that you have in your life. Notice how David spent a little bit of time really talking about how sorrowful he was about that sin. And maybe sometimes we need to spend some time talking about how sorrowful we are. You know, there's sometimes in our culture today where we have the mindset of the Romans, like in chapter 5 and 6, where we think we can keep on sinning so that grace may abound. No. Notice this one or two sins that David committed caused him to go into this long time of lament and sorrow. I wonder if we can have that same heart. Because what happens when we sin? We hurt our relationship with our Creator. We don't want to hurt that relationship. Next, I want you to embrace the heart work. Really try to embrace what God can do for your heart through prayer, through meditating on His Word, through asking for help from His people. Then I want you to act on that renewal. You see, your heart is fixed after the C-L-N-E. Now I want you to go do something about it. Now that your heart has been created anew, I want you to go tell other people about it. Go and preach to other people, teach other people, invite them to services, invite them to your home to have a Bible study. Send them a scripture. Act on that renewal. Or maybe you can be driving to work and you can be singing songs of praise, just letting God know, I am so thankful for what you have done for me. I'm thankful that you have been able to create in me a clean heart. And the last thing is never stop praising. Don't just do it on that one drive to work. Keep doing it. Do it on the drive home. You see, some of y'all are blessed. You may not consider this blessed, but y'all get 30 minutes to drive to and from work. I get about 9. There's not a lot of songs I can sing on the way home. But if you have 30 minutes, sing that entire 30 minutes. You may have to take a water with you to be able to keep doing it. But let God know how much you love him. We have a God that is willing to help cleanse our hearts. We have a God that is willing to help us in our most lamenting of moments. And I'm thankful for that. Maybe you are here this morning and you are in need of responding to the Lord's invitation. You need prayers. We would love to pray with you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to become a child of God and you're ready to have your sins washed away in baptism. We would love for this morning to be that morning as well. We just ask that if you have a need, you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.